First Peter what?
Chapter 4, verse 11.
Is that the same scriptures that Gold said that if it's lost its saltiness, it's...
Salt has lost its savor, is no good for, good for nothing. Good, you are the salt of the earth. If the salt has lost its savor, it is good for nothing. You are the salt of the earth because there's a component of eternity in you. It's called Jesus Christ. So here, verse 11, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. That's pretty big. But you can't, you got to understand, your thoughts are your speech. It's your speech to yourself. You talk at about an average of 130 words per minute. You think about 1,300 words a minute. And so your this speech here is far more important than this speech. Because this speech here, as a man thinketh, so is he. And so that's why most people are brute beasts. Because they think as beasts. They think as what they perceive with their senses. And that's just a brute beast. Animals do that. We must think from a different position. Harry used to drive, it drove Harry crazy because I would tell him that I never think. He couldn't believe me. If my mind starts going, what happens to me is I speak in tongues automatically in my mind, so I don't pay any attention ever to what my mind is saying to me. I pay no attention to what my emotions are saying to me. They're meaningless. They're just gibberish. Now, this is a very difficult thing when you have a need. But yet, when the need is there, that's when it's most important. Now, Tom is in the same position. Tom doesn't have a job. He's going to run out of money. And he has a family. He's not kiting checks, but that's what you were doing with a credit card. But it's the same thing. And when the need is like that, that's when this thing about why you think becomes so critical. If any man, and this is what it, here's what it says. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. Now the oracle is the name of the place under the wings of the cherubim on the mercy seat in the temple. That's called the oracle.
Location of spear, is it where that?
Yeah, that's, and so under the wings of the cherubim on the mercy seat in the New Jerusalem is where your true life is. It's where, it's not where you're going to go someday, it's where you, God wants you to live there today. You don't live there, you know, everybody, if you're a believer at all, you know you have an inheritance. And then sometimes we can even possess the inheritance. We have these great feelings of overwhelming peace, or something happens, you feel great joy for no reason. But that's just possessing it every once in a while. God wants to live us to live there 24 hours a day. He wants our home to be this oracle of God, the New Jerusalem. And we never have to leave it, ever. And once you see this, then everything in your life, you'll find out, not just in your life, but everything in time and space, its purpose first was to keep you from knowing that place even existed and that it was available to you. But then secondly, once you've gone there, everything is trying to pull you off the mercy seat. Now this must be important because we talked about it this morning in morning Bible study. Now, I don't know if there's a few coins in here. Hope that'll help. No, but it'll be met. But you hear me, and we just had this with this one earlier today. She can't have a need. Any need she has is our need. it's impossible for us to have a need, because we're at the first source of all things. Does that make sense? Tom likes the philosophy about it, but
never quite gets below the brain cells.
I'll tell you why. That's what we're going to study tonight, is why you cannot use the brain cells.
Stay right there, Ollie, for a second. I need 15 seconds.
Something I need real bad, because I'm going to wake up.
No, I mean, I promise you, if you can hear what I'm going to preach, what we're talking about tonight, you'll never again pay any attention to your mind. Never.
It's so much easier said than done.
Well, your mind isn't any different than mine. Do you understand? I only had one rule when I was in the world, a pagan. I worship my mind. My only rule was rules are for when brains run out. And I got paid highly for doing that. No. First of all, that's the most arrogant thing you can say. Second of all, you have to have blinders on to say it with any integrity. You have to come, you're an idiot to say things like that. But I was much more of an idiot. I lived that way for my life until God grabbed me. But I from the day that God grabbed me, from the day, as the scriptures say, that it pleased God to reveal his son in me, I haven't paid any attention to this thing. That's the one constant. And I think those of you that have been with me for a long time can testify to that. I don't care what my mind says. It doesn't mean anything. I don't care what my emotions. Now, I think I told you all I had to go through. I was a mewing animal on the floor, incontinent, throwing up, crapping all over myself, urinating at the same time, in so much pain I couldn't breathe. And I had this, and this came from somewhere. It didn't come from me, but it was, Father, forgive me for wanting to be delivered from pain. And that altered me internally at a level I can't even describe. But I knew about consciousness and about paying, not giving any breath to my emotions or my mind or my thoughts, because it's, if you really look at it, your emotions and your mind, your thoughts have never been your friend. Somebody says they're... But, my only question is, how's that worked out for you? If you paid attention to your mind. But your mind isn't any different than mine. You're all bastards.
Yeah. Get that, Nick?
Now, what we're going to study tonight is all about this. Does it ever make you uneasy to know Nick's behind you? No?
It makes me uneasy.
There's a sense of solace here, I think, when people understand the next ministry that occupies these quarters will show love.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to throw up.
Now let's just find out what that definition of love is.
I'm glad I got my feet up off the floor.
All right. Go to Isaiah 59. This was 690 years before Christ. 720 years before Christ was crucified. This was said by Isaiah at a time when Israel was prospering. It looked to be successful outwardly. Isaiah, to me, is the greatest prophet. But what happened to Isaiah is hard for us to even conceive of. But much of it had to do because of this chapter. He was laid out on a table, and a two-man saw was used, and they started at his groin and cut him in half all the way up. And it said in the Talmud, it said that he continued preaching until the saw hit his vocal cords. Now, it wasn't a bandsaw that went kind of electric. This was a rough saw, probably not very sharp. Sawed him in half. And much of it had to do with what we're about to read. Why he was sawn in half. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. Now, I want you to, the world today, Christian world today, you'd still get sawn in half for saying this is you, what we're about to read. Your hands are filled with blood, your fingers with iniquity. Now this is talking to you, to your mind, to all of us. Your lips have spoken lies, your tongue hath muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. They hatch snake's eggs, weave the spider's web. He that eateth of their eggs dieth, and that which is crushed breaketh out into another snake, a viper. Their webs shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the acts of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil. They make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their path. Now this is the human race. This is you and me. The way of peace they know not. There is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths, and whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. Therefore is judgment far from us. Now, they've made crooked paths. Have you ever wondered why there's so many different books, like diet books? Mm-hmm. Because none of them work. Go into a Christian bookstore. There's more how-to books in a Christian bookstore than any other kind of book. Why? Because none of them work. Their paths are crooked. They're trying to sanctify that which is evil. All right. Therefore is judgment far from us. Neither doth justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity, for brightness, but we walk in darkness. We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are in desolate places as dead men. We roar all like bears and mourn sore like doves. We look for judgment, and there is none, for salvation, but it is far from us. For our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressors are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. Now, can you imagine? This is a prophet that was universally accepted as a prophet of God. And he said these things to the nation when everybody thought they were doing well. Now, let me tell you something. We are in a greater period of apostasy in the church today than we have ever been in history. So it doesn't shock me that there's a bunch of crap being taught. It doesn't shock me that no one is teaching you that your mind is the Antichrist. All right. In transgressing and lying against the Lord and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart works of falsehood, and judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off, for truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness, it sustained him. And what is all that saying?
Christ.
You're not righteous because you put on the label of being a Christian. You're not righteous for any other reason than you contain he who is righteous. But if you contain him who is righteous, his humility is so great, he can't occupy where you are. So if you're giving breath and nervous about something, then he has to take the lowest seat. Now that just doesn't seem fair. But it's fair and it's perfect from the will of God. The will of God wants you to know what he wants without him telling you. And we've used this description for years. Yeah, God just came through the door. And you knew it was God. And he said, Joshua, get up and kick Ronnie's door in. If you knew it was God, you would rush over there and kick Ronnie's door in faster than you could say it. But God's got 40 jillion angels that can kick the door in better than you can. But the angels can't do it because they know without him telling what he wants. God wants you in this parable to kick the door in without him telling you to, because you know his heart so well. And the only way you can know his heart is by him holding you next to his heart. And right now you're the lamb in the herd that keeps running away. You keep going over there and following that blade of grass and you get over there. And so what God has done spiritually is he's broken your leg so he can carry you next to his heart. So you can know the heart of God instead of the heart of this thing. Now, it's not just you. I've been telling this one this for 9 to 40 years.
Close to it.
So you see.
Some of us are really slow.
Well, I saw it the first time.
I believe it.
Yeah, right.
Not.
The pizza lovers snickering.
He saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor there for his arm. The word arm is Zeruah in Hebrew. And that means his own seed brought him the victory. And that's what Christianity is. His own seed brought him the victory. His own sperma. Now, what God wants is he wants your mind to have been transfigured. Renewed, so that there's no difference between your mind and the mind of God, the mind of Christ. And that doesn't mean you have to learn the Bible inside out. You just have to do one thing. You have to empty. And the deeper you empty, the weaker you are, then his strength is revealed only in your weakness. But we don't want that. We want him to help us be stronger, so we can have great plans and do great exploits. I'm not just picking on you.
No.
But I might be. I will.
It's
do you think
true.
I
so
would
true.
I embarrass somebody like picking on somebody just directly like that?
We
in a heartbeat, in a New York minute.
That's the beauty of this.
True. What?
That's the beauty of this.
What?
It's that open. It's that raw.
That's right.
It's the example. Use it.
No, you can't. There can't be anything else.
Only
no.
Yeah. Only the way they use me for an example, something for a long time.
No, no, I just don't want to pick on the infant.
A cockroach, lats come on and he runs on the refrigerator.
No, the infant.
Now, I will say, Bernard, you and Ollie have one thing in common. Guys, about my makeup pimple on a healthy man's ass, but that's not the here or there.
Excuse him, ladies.
No, he copied that from me.
I did?
Yeah.
Well, I will say I put my name over yours on most of these documents already.
A plagiarist who loves his trade.
Anyway.
But Ollie, let me ask you a question regarding this text. How about the passage, and I can't call it, in Jeremiah, that speaks to, do we think that there's any place we can actually hide from him because he sees everything? Because over here, you get the impression that his face is hid, so to speak. But then in Jeremiah, it talks about, is there any place we can go and hide from him?
It's only talking to his people. His people are only the ones that saw Christ. You can't hide there. But this is the people that were just acting like they were believers.
Besides, that's in the opposite direction. You can't hide from God, but when you seek him out, you may not be able to find him. You see the difference?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what he's saying in Isaiah, is when you're seeking God, you can't find him because he's not willing to look at you.
Moses.
No, that's well put down.
The face of God. We sometimes forget that this was not written to all the people in the world. It's written to us, the body.
I want you to hear this, Mr. Josh, and the rest of you. You cannot have a need because your need becomes our need. And we can't have a need because we're at the first source of all things. Well, that has to be the predicate of your life. No.
That doesn't mean we can have it like we think.
No. What will happen, I mean, if this continues and you're still not able to get a job, then, well, you got a place. Come on down here. I mean, it's nothing is compelling you, but by the same token, God may want you here for a while. Who knows? So that you live it and see it 24 hours a day.
And there's a big difference, big, big difference in your life once that happens. So I think that if people have not had a chance to live in community, have just missed a huge thing.
It's a different, yeah, because you're here, you're naked, you know, you're
Everybody knows. The jig is up. Everybody knows.
It's like, there's no place to hide.
There's no place to hide. The jig is up.
But that's what church should be, the place where there's no place to hide.
And no need to hide.
And no need to hide.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
Fear is gone.
And you got to see that. You got to see that whatever's in that basket. Excuse me, Peter.
No, go ahead.
Now that what's in that little basket is just to make some money for this week. I mean, you need more, ask tomorrow. You know, you don't have to. I might be wrong, but basically all God promises us is maybe I bring over our head some food or something. I'm not sure, but
well, I mean, it's
food
it's
and clothing there would be content.
Yeah, if you can't go down to that level,
well, I went down to nothing and less than nothing.
And you're not going to go there. You're not going to be down here in the viaduct when I drive by going home or tomorrow or whatever. The worst that can happen to me you is.
Because you have to be Pete's roommate. That would be the worst thing that can happen.
Be Pete's roommate and have somebody cook free food in the lair for you.
Yeah, I've had a couple guys live on my floor for years. One for 6 months and another for 3 years. Yeah.
And you see that?
And that gets difficult for the both.
Well, I mean, right now you could live and sleep on a couch.
No, you can't. I got the couch because some people move into my place tomorrow. Rotating.
Well, anyway,
we have places.
There's always a place.
There'll be a place.
If we don't, if nothing works out, I know of a bed you can have.
You got to see. You got to really believe that.
Because otherwise, your mind's going to do. It's going to tear you up.
And it'll be tonight. I'm going to tell you that the world's falling in.
Now let's continue here. Verse 7. Again, let's verse 16.
What chapter are we in?
Verse 59. Chapter 59, Isaiah 59.
Oh, I went to Jeremiah.
Now we're going to say 16 again. He saw that there was no man that could do this, what he needed, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm, his Zeruah, brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness, it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and a helmet of salvation upon his head. And he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. To the islands he will repay recompense. The islands are a metaphor for individuals alone.
You're taking yourself and put yourself on this island all by yourself and think you've got nobody to help you out. You're just helpless.
So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up his standard against him. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. And as for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My Spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Now, we always somehow end up thinking that God is testing us in some way. But he's not. He's not dealing with flesh at all.
It's not to be tested anymore.
Now what happened? The history of the Bible. From in the beginning, God tested man in his innocency. God doesn't want innocence, he wants holiness. And what is holiness but tested innocence? And so what Adam and Eve did, we don't know how many tests they passed, but we certainly know the one they failed. When they fell, it altered your brain from then on. They only had the capacity to see others before they ate of the tree that knows good and evil. They had no self-consciousness. They weren't aware of themselves. They're only aware of God and others. And when the fall happened, it transformed the universe. It wasn't a little thing. And it transformed your mind. And it split your mind into conscious and subconscious. So you can have the illusion of being in control. Understand? You think you can, everybody wants to be in control of their lives. But I say always to those that want, I just want to control my life.
My independence.
You know, you can't control 90% of your functions. You can't control your heart right now. You can't control the enzymes that are digesting the food you ate. You can't control the path of blood through your veins. You can't control the bringing of oxygen into your lungs. You can't control the muscles that are needed for you to sit in this position without crumbling up. You can't control anything. Small, infantile percentage of your life can you have the illusion of control. And yet every one of us went through the deal of wanting to be in control of their future and control of their life. And it's frightening when you find out that that's even the possibility, even the wanting to be in control is ridiculous. Because you can control only so little of it. You know, and then, especially, you know, since I've been a believer, I've been out of control so much of the time because of pain and because of other things, that it just made a mockery of me ever wanting to have any kind of control. Now, so when the fall happened, it was major. It altered the universe. And it altered your mind. And the original sin wasn't sex. That's stupid. The original sin was eating of the fruit of the tree that knows good and evil. To be like God. Now we say we say, well,
I'm not doing that now.
Well, I promise
that
you.
Was
I'm not telling you what's good and evil. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. No. That's not going to work too well. The purpose of the Bible isn't to show you what's good and evil. The purpose of the Bible is to bring you to your knees. The purpose of the Bible isn't the manufacturer's handbook. It isn't a how-to manual. Do you know what the Bible is?
Brain busters.
The Bible isn't, oh, we've talked about this, but it's good. The Bible isn't a history book. It isn't a science book. It isn't even a religious book. The Bible is about life in two totally separate environments. One is eternity, and the other is time and space. Eternity is the kingdom of God. Time and space is the kingdom of the false god. Now, everything in the Bible tries to point you to move from the world of time and space into the world of eternity. It's not a moral book. It's not an ethics book. It's certainly not a family values book. I mean, the apostles and Christ's teaching is the worst family values that ever there ever was. No man can come to the Father unless he hate his mother and father and sister and brother and wife and children. He has his own life also. So until you see that, then you're going to try to use the Bible, just like you use everything else. You'll go through here and say, well, what does this mean to me? How can I use this in my business? So anyway, so all of it came from the fall. Then what happened?
Get any onion?
Hmm?
Bite me.
It's time to get any onion. And this starts in us. Something magical, well, not magical, but it's starting at 18 months of age.
Well, yeah, it's all of this is revealed in us. Every human being goes through this point, and when it's about 18 months old, you first become aware of yourself. And from the moment, if you've had children, you know this: the moment you become aware of yourself. And you watch the con game. You start conning, especially your mother, right away. If you can get by with conning your mother, you try to con your father. And if you don't know what I mean, you're not truthful. So that's the first thing you do when you become aware of self, is be a con man or woman. Because what you're doing is you finally became aware of the con man. The instead of Christ, yourself. And from that day on until now, you've invented yourself. And you think you're special. Some really think they're special. I'm not mentioning any names, but anyway, first test in intimacy, the fall. Second, then you're tested. God, and this is God's justice. Give every possible situation a chance. Then tested without the law. And what happened? All hell broke loose. Cats and dogs were sleeping together, and angels came down and had sex with women. All hell broke loose, literally. And what happened then? Then came the flood to destroy it. The reason the Noah's family was saved, it's the only seed that hadn't been mixed with these angelic beings. And that's a whole other world. But they had still, they didn't, they still had the seed was still there. Then they're tested with the restraints of human authority. That's the Noachian law in Genesis 6. Just simple. What happened then? Massive idolatry. Then they chose one family to represent the human race. That's, and if you don't know that, then you better know. The Jews were representatives of the human race. They weren't any more special. And but anyway, chose one family. What happened? Rebellion and bondage. Then they gave the perfect law on Mount Sinai. What happened? As soon as the law came in, more than rebellion was realized, much more than it ever had been. Then they sent prophets. They were stoned. And we sent better prophets. They were killed. And they sent his son. He was cast out and crucified. Then he even sent the Holy Spirit to breathe on the flesh. Let's look and see that. Just for your, go to John 20. This was still dealing with the flesh before Pentecost.
You say before Pentecost, before the shedding of the Holy Spirit.
Right. This was Jesus. In verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus again to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I to you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. Okay, so he breathed the Holy Spirit on his disciples. Now let's go to chapter 21. Great thing to breathe the Holy Spirit on his disciples. Let's see what happened.
Where are we at now?
Now we're in John 20, chapter 21, verse 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And in this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee and the sons of Zebedee and two other of disciples. Simon Peter said unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. Now, it doesn't mean they were just going to go fishing. It meant they were returning to their lives before they were disciples. It's everything the prosperity gospel is teaching today. Now, the Holy Spirit, we've received the Holy Spirit, and now we can really be successful.
Now we got a real power tool.
And so, what happened? They were going to return to their old life. Now, all failed. Even Jesus Christ failed to save the human race. And until you understand that, you won't understand anything.
Tell them that now, how important that
is. I did. Now, resurrection only. Flesh is no more to be tested, settled that it was lost and hopeless. And your baptism sealed that. That's why infant baptism is impossible.
What is it? It comes down the sign. We used to drop the sign. That's a mini.
You mean what's written on? What was written on the wall? This was in Babylon, what was written on the wall. Mene, mene, tekel upharsin.
Yes.
You have been weighed in the balance and found to be eternally lacking. Mene, mene, tekel upharsin.
Where's that at?
Daniel. Now God makes a people of himself. His own right arm has gotten him the victory. His own seed. It's Christ in you. Not you becoming, not you doing. We're begotten unto an alive hope. That hope is Jesus Christ. Now we must all fall on that rock. Don't let the rock fall on you. We continue with him in his temptation. His temptation was to never to lean on his own arm of understanding about anything. Because we recognize what we first read in Isaiah 59.
So anything that's going on, anything that we're confronted with that moment, that hour, are his tribulations, not ours.
Amen. We are blessed to be partakers of his suffering, but we are also blessed to be partakers of his glory. Flesh is never again to be tested. It's lost and hopeless. That's why you were buried in baptism. If you weren't buried in baptism, you didn't get baptized, you just got wet. This is why the horse shit that's being taught in modern Christianity is so evil. It isn't innocent. It isn't just another way of looking at it. It's a different gospel. I am second. No, you're not. You're not. He is. You're not third, fourth, or fifth.
Where is this thing written in Isaiah 59?
Yeah. Where are the cockatrice? Where are the generation of vipers? Yeah. Where are the... You know what? When it said generation of vipers throughout the Matthew 23 and 24, sons of the snake.
Those are pretty hefty words back in those days.
What?
Those are pretty hefty, like cursing, people would think of cursing today.
Well, we could spend a whole bunch more time on this, but I thought it appropriate that we see what Isaiah 59 had to say, so you don't be deceived. Not even Thomas, called Didymus. Why was he called Didymus?
Because the name sounds like a real funny name. Yeah, it's a real good name for...
No. Yeah, but he was never called sweet, though.
Didymus means many. Didymus means two in Greek.
Yeah,
he was of two mind.
Didymus, two mind. It does fit.
Yes, sweet Pete, go back to being sweet.
Don't go down that road.
Yeah, your meager attempts.
Anybody have any questions or thoughts or
just air?
What do you think?
About how I've been kind of myself with my own ego for a lifetime. That I have been in control, and it's just a time game. It's this.
Yeah, just invented yourself. No, you happen to be
myself that I liked.
You're right. You invented yourself, and in your case, you had people that applauded you.
So made it worse.
That made it worse.
No, and that's only on a serious note. What you say is true, because I mean, when I first met Hackbarth, oh my good, 92-ish. And I recognize, you know what, I'm going to make, not a name for me, but I'm going to make my money. I can make it with this guy.
Well, I know. I mean, but the point, that's the point. And you keep building him back up again.
Well, I mean, because I was right there with him.
I understand. Like, but I want you not to build him up. That's, he doesn't need that.
Yeah, I know.
He needs truth.
Well, if we're done, Ollie, it's going to be enough. I'm going to go home and listen to
I'm fully well. I'm more aware now than ever that any pedestal that I've put myself on or anybody's put me on, I have fallen off that and disappointed more people than I can shake a stick at.
Well, but it's just not even in the ball game anymore.
No, it's not.
That's all down the stream.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
My brother, we're going to hook up here shortly.
Yes.
Tsunami washed it away.
You remember we talked about the most powerful force in the universe is a vacuum. And that's what you as a believer must create, a vacuum by emptying. If 12 did that, as they did in here, they turned the world upside down. Not because they had great communications and great evangelists. They did it by emptying. God altered their universe. And so when you live this, you alter your surroundings. You alter your universe.
Solid.